I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Hey, this is Kenny Mayne, host of something called Hey Mayne. That's a podcast. We're working busily on season 2, but let's not forget about season 1. Remember Jemele Hill? Is the cookout ever going to happen, or is it just metaphorical?
It is largely metaphorical. Just know we would feel very comfortable inviting you. Potato salad, by the way, I feel like I should tell your listeners, does not have raisins in it.
If you missed that episode of Hey Mayne, check it out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
First and Pod, hosted by Danny Parkin and Andrew Filippone.
Your guy Tua got MVP chance today, Dolphins, Texans. That is like the most tailor-made layup national story ever. Tua, should he be MVP? We talked about it a few weeks ago. You were mad at me for not including Tua in the MVP conversation. Do you think that's about to be a huge thing?
It can be. I think it can be. I think, you know, we see this. You know, I'll just make a quick comparison to college football. I mean, did you see the way the markets changed for the Heisman Trophy a minute before kickoff of Ohio State, Michigan, to where it was when the game ended? Stroud was like minus, like, an incredible favorite to not even being in the conversation with one game. So all I'm saying is that, yeah, right now he's probably like maybe like fourth or fifth. He's like in the conversation. He's honorable mention. But if they sweep Buffalo, if they win that division, if Mahomes just kind of plays okay and not great, you know, if Dallas ends up winning the NFC East, Dak's not going to get the MVP. Micah Parsons isn't going to get the MVP. I mean, there is a path for Tua to win the MVP award. Absolutely. It's there.
Yeah, it's there. That's a couple too many ifs for me. I want to see if the awards markets are posted again after the games, just real quick.
I mean, I would guess Mahomes and Hurts for sure are ahead of him.
Yeah, and so, but he's third, plus 550.
Yeah.
Mahomes minus 145.
You can't bet it. There's no value there. But I get why he's the favorite.
Yeah, but I could see Hurts winning that award as just the new thing on the block and like the record. And we've talked about their schedule. I could see Hurts winning that award over Mahomes, man.
But let me ask you this question: if Dallas wins the division, you can't give the award to
Hurts. No, you cannot. Yeah, I agree. No, Mahomes deserves to be the favorite. But non-Mahomes, and I guess this is a obvious statement because he's got better odds than him. But I think Hurts has a cleaner path and narrative to it than Tua does, largely because of the presence of Tyreek Hill. My thing from this game that I thought was just interesting, I was thinking about next week, like kind of like Chiefs Rams, felt like I was like looking ahead to Chiefs Bengals.
Yep.
Niners Dolphins next week is an awesome game.
Yep.
On a ton of levels, like schematically with the Niners defense against the Dolphins offense.
They know each other with McDaniel.
Yeah, exactly. Shanahan McDaniel. And it's a 4:05 Eastern game when most of the country is going to be getting Chiefs Bengals. That sucks.
Yep. I know.
Like that is like,
and the, you know what, and you know why, and you know why that is? You know why? Because, and I thought it was the TV network that made the decision, but it's actually the league when it comes to the flex. But the TV networks can lobby the leagues like, hey, please don't make a flex decision here. I think that happened with the Cowboys and Colts because that game is no business being the Sunday night game. It's only there because the Cowboys, as we saw on Thanksgiving, attract a gigantic audience when they're right. good. But that game should be the 4:05 game or should be a 1 o'clock game. And Dolphins and Niners should be the primetime game.
I was just going to say,
the Cowboys lovers.
Yeah, right. No, I was just going to say, like, the both primetime games, and I know you don't flex Monday night games, but like New Orleans, Tampa, Dallas, Indy, it's such a better game. Like I want to watch every snap of that game, and obviously it's doable, but it's just going to be tougher to do. It sucks. I mean, next week's got a lot of really good games on paper, but that one might be my favorite. You're locked into the New York sports media market scene. How do you think they're going to handle what Mike White did to my Bears today? Because I'll tell you this. I'm sorry to answer the question real quick, or just to give context. It led Sunday Night Football halftime.
I saw that.
It led it. They said the legend of Mike White continues.
Yeah, okay.
On Football Night in America.
Yeah. Here's what's happened, I think. This is just my opinion from afar. I think the Geno Smith renaissance has rotted the brains of otherwise smart people who talk about sports in New York City. And that because of what happened with Geno Smith there, you know, they had him, both teams had him, and he's gone on to have a really good year. I think that there's like this love affair with the underdog quarterback now. And so that's why Mike White, I think, has a big following and a huge fan base there because they want to believe that somebody like that, you know, is capable, if given a chance, can be a really good quarterback. They're really big on this idea that these guys just don't get opportunities now. And so I think look, I honestly believe that the owner got involved there. I really do. I don't think that was independent, individual decision that was made by Saleh just to go to White. I think the owner saw the press conference after the game with Wilson, was so put off by it that just like Ursay got involved with the Colts, I think the same thing happened with the Jets. And he said, play White. And it worked today. And he didn't have a bad game. But we'll see. Like you made the best point. The Bears defense sucks. A lot of quarterbacks can do that against the Bears defense.
And today is an even worse version of the Bears defense. Eddie Jackson left the game hurt.
Brisker was out.
And Kyler Gordon was out. Both their second round picks in the secondary were out. So, I mean, arguably, other than Jalen Johnson is their best, but the guys who started the year, Eddie Jackson, Robert Quinn, Roquan Smith, those would be three of their four best defensive players. They were out. And then Brisker has been a top five player for them for their defense too. Their defense is atrocious. It was not a representative NFL defense that they put on the field today. I mean, if that defense played 17 games with like that as the unit, it would be a historically terrible points allowed, rushing yards allowed, passing yards allowed, defense. Like there were not guys. My guess is of that defense that played, two or three will be starters for the Bears next year. Like the guys who finished the game.
That's why it was probably an ideal game to actually start Wilson.
Right. That was the thing. Like how bad is it? With, I mean, like they're going to have to keep him on the scout team for weeks because if it was not a decision based on the opponent. Now, I know they didn't want to subject him to the home crowd, and if something went wrong and, you know, you didn't know that Brisker and Gordon were going to be out for sure with the concussion, though, but that did happen on Friday. Like, that was not like a game time thing. And then Eddie Jackson leaves during the game. I understand that. But the Bears defense today was legitimately not an NFL caliber defense that they tried out there. You mentioned Geno Smith. I think it's like a little bit of like the Gardner Minshew thing. I think it's that people like the idea that, like, oh, maybe I could be an NFL quarterback. Like, there's a fairly nondescript, non-athletic looking white person. Like, like, I could maybe be Mike White. I wear jorts and have a handlebar mustache. I could be Gardner Minshew. Like, I think it's like one of those things that people just like, you want to believe that that is a real thing. And like, oh, he lives in a van. His name's Mike White. He could be an accountant. No, he sucks. There's nothing special about him in any way. Give me a real sample size from him. And it's there. And then my only Bears thing out of this game is I'm going to be insufferable, even more so than normal, because anyone who'd been hating on Justin Fields, like, oh, Trevor Siemian, he had these passing yards. Yeah, between the 20s, they scored 10 goddamn points.
Why didn't my man Nate Peterman make the start? I was getting fed a bill of goods that I was going to be able to watch Nate Peterman play football again today.
But Trevor Siemian was the backup. They elevated Peterman from the practice squad because Fields was going to be there. They needed a backup.
Yep.
And then Trevor Siemian got an ouchie in warmups.
Yeah, and then everyone said Nate Peterman was going to start, and I got excited, and I bet the Bears because of it.
Oh, but then Siemian went into the locker room and was like, I'm going to tough this out. I'm embarrassed. I can't get hurt in pregame warmups. And then he played. And so they played him. But so, yeah, the Bears did not know who their starting quarterback was going to be 7 minutes before kickoff today. Fairly incredible set of circumstances for this football team that I cover. Falcons Commanders, close game, not a particularly entertaining game. I don't know where you want to go. The thing that I thought was maybe most interesting is Taylor Heinicke was not good today, but he's 5-1 as a starter. Do you believe this is the last we've heard from Carson Wentz in any meaningful way? Because he was cleared to practice, but I see no reason why Washington would be compelled to go back to him over Taylor Heinicke, who by all accounts is like the anti-Wentz in terms of like leadership and likability and all of that stuff. And they're winning. And I know they've got a little bit of a commitment to Wentz, but like, feel like we're done with the Carson Wentz show for a long time here.
I do. Yeah. Although as I say that, I thought Sam Darnold looked pretty good against one of the better defenses in the NFL today. So small sample size, yes, but he did it against Denver's defense, who I, you know, consider one of the best defenses in the NFL. No, I don't. No one will trade for, no one will sign Carson Wentz to be a starting quarterback. I don't even think, given his reputation now, that it'll be in the way that we talked about Jacoby Brissett earlier.
Exactly.
It's like, hey, keep the seat warm for this kid. No, that won't happen. I think he's going to have to be a high-end backup quarterback somewhere. I don't even know if he wants to do that.
And same thing, man. Like, you want your backup quarterback to, I mean, unless you have a, I mean, I guess he could back up like Josh Allen, you know, like he could back, like, where there's absolutely no path whatsoever to being a starter. Your voice doesn't matter. You don't need to coach. Like, you don't need to mentor. You don't need to anything.
Man, I'll tell you what, Washington is going to be one of the weirdest teams to talk about when this season is over. Because I don't think Heinicke is going to be able to do enough here to convince people that he's a legitimate starting quarterback, like a franchise quarterback, where you're like, we're good with this guy. And they're going to make the playoffs now. So that means they're not going to have a good enough draft pick to take one of these guys at the top of the draft. And given how poorly things have gone, now Stafford won a Super Bowl, but how things went for like Russell Wilson in a trade, maybe even Deshaun Watson to a lesser extent, given everything off the field with him. Like Washington, I think, would be a prime candidate to trade for a quarterback, but are they going to be willing to give up the king's ransom in picks? You know, like they're going to be in that purgatory. What's that?
It would, you know, like anything, it would matter who the quarterback is. Who are you trading for?
Well, I know, like, but I'm just saying,
I could see them being more willing to move up to draft one, maybe, than like going out and getting a veteran. I don't know that they feel like they're a veteran quarterback away from just like really winning.
I don't know, man. They might. If they win, if they go 9-8 or 10-7.
Yeah, they might. They might. Young core. You know, but yep. but yeah, I guess it would like what veteran we talked about Kyler last week, but I don't see that happening. Like what veteran that moves the needle is getting traded this offseason? I mean, Jordan Love.
Yeah, that's somebody like that.
I
heard Boomer Esiason say Jared Goff is a great quarterback after the Detroit Thanksgiving game. Does Jared Goff go to Washington?
Boomer Esiason said Jared Goff is a great quarterback.
Yeah, you need to bring that up with him the next time he's on your
show. I'm going to put that in my notes for Wednesday at 3.
Yes.
That's a questionable statement, Boomer. I don't know what was in your cider there, buddy, on Thanksgiving. I don't love that. I don't love that take out of you. You mentioned Denver's defense. So the Sam Darnold, you said he played okay. That touchdown roll into the end zone was hilarious. But let's table that for a second. This is the last game of the day. I would argue, Pony, that we could have led with this team today. The Broncos are a fucking catastrophe. Like, they don't have an out of Russell Wilson's contract until 2026 at the earliest. And it would still be over $30 million in dead cap space if they did it in 2026. Dude, I don't know. Like, I know you know. There are 20 quarterbacks this season with over 300 pass attempts. This is how Russell Wilson ranks in touchdowns of the 20. He's 20th. In completion percentage, he's 20th. In quarterback rating, he's 19th. The only guy worse is Davis Mills. He looks horrifying. Horrifying. Their offense can't do anything. What do you do? What do you do if you're Denver? Just pray that he's not cooked? What do? You cannot trade him. You can't. I mean, are you going to bench him and play a guy for the veteran minimum who's better than him? He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. I don't know what you do.
And the same stuff that was allegedly going on behind the scenes in Seattle happened during the game today, where one of their defensive tackles, it looked like, wanted to fight Wilson on the sideline. And he had to say, like, I got this. Calm down. We're good. You weren't good.
Right.
And that's the frustration of the defense has been good enough to win a ton of games. And if they had just gotten decent play from Russell Wilson, they'd probably be in the thick of the playoff race right now. What do you do? Well, you're stuck with him for one. Unless you coax him into retirement, he's your quarterback.
He says he wants to play until his 40s.
Yeah, you're stuck with him.
I assume he's not this bad, but he might be. He legitimately might have been propped up by DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Pete Carroll, and, you know, he's had a couple of injuries and it falls off fast. And it is absolutely in play that he's just going to collect checks for the next 4 years as the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. And then until they like are the worst team in the NFL, draft a quarterback. And then he's the highest paid backup in the history of sports.
Yeah. He's going to have to reinvent himself. I mean, he's got to move more. He's standing in there and he's either trying to get the ball out too fast. it seems like he can't read defenses anymore, which is like the thing that's the most mind-boggling about it. Like he honestly looks like he's got some kind of anxiety issue when he's back there. He panics. So
he's so bad, man. It takes them like 9 plays from inside the 10-yard line to score. And that happens.
Oh, I know.
Once a week. Like it's just like they're one touchdown. It's like, oh, we made it.
Yeah.
They are an unwatchable product. And before the year, some people like them to go to the Super Bowl.
But your point that they seem stuck is right. Like you're saying, what can they do? There are no options.
There are no,
they have to just hope that he's better next year.
They can fire the coach and they can, in theory, if they were ever so bad that they just decided to draft the quarterback, they could bench him. Because, dude, I mean, we're not there yet.
Yeah, but it's not going to be a first-round pick. Seattle's got their first-round pick.
Well, right. Dude, Seattle's going to get a top-5 pick.
Yeah, I know.
It's unbelievable. It is like what a calamity that the Denver brought. The only thing that I'd be feeling good about is like, well, my owner's rich enough that they can basically do anything, but it's not baseball.
Yep.
Like you can't just like cut the guy a check and move on. It's, I don't know.
Do you think I also think it's such a bad situation that even if they offered Sean Payton the most amount of money, I still don't think he would do it.
Why would you? You need a quarterback, man, to win.
Yep.
Bill Belichick will tell you that.
I don't think he'd do it. I think even if they offered $2 or $3 million more a year than the next team, I still don't think I think he'd be like, yeah, I'm good. I'll keep picking games on Fox.
Well, yeah, because he's gonna have options.
Yep.
Like, remember like when Bill Cowher retired, he like had options for 10 years. Same with Dungy. Like Sean Payton's going to be able to pick his job. Like he could wait to coach Justin Herbert if he wants to, if Brandon Staley's going to get out of there or whoever he wants. All right, let's do this quick. We're running long. Did you have a top, like your single biggest Thanksgiving football opinion or takeaway?
Yeah, I do have one.
All right.
The Bills needed the Super Bowl to be played in September because that's when they were at their best this year.
Yeah.
If the Super Bowl got played in the middle of September, they would have won it. But now I'm not even sure that they're going to win a playoff game. You throw the Von Miller injury on top of that. I know there's a little bit of a sigh of relief there, but man, they were very fortunate to come out of that game with a win. They were a 9-10 point favorite. You know, their division, they still have 2 games left with New England. They're going to play them on a short week. I don't know. I just don't feel good about their chances. Maybe they're a buy low option right now because they were so high for so long in the offseason and then the first 6 or 7 weeks of the year. But right now, I feel like the Bills are either one and done or a team that goes out in the divisional round again this year.
There's no buy low, buddy. To win the AFC right now, the Chiefs are the favorite at plus 200.
And then they're next.
At plus 210.
Yeah, sorry, not interested. I'd much rather have Cincinnati, and I would have told you that before they even went to Tennessee and won today.
Dude, you can get Cincinnati at 10-1.
Love it. Still love it.
Dolphins and Ravens have better odds than the Bengals.
Love it. I might get a home playoff game with them too again.
I judge the Lions differently than I judge like any other NFL team. I judge them like they're like a cute little puppy that pees inside. they covered. Good for them. They covered on Thanksgiving against the Bills. They had a real chance. Dan Campbell, isn't he adorable?
Yeah.
They get graded
on a serious curve.
I really do. I grade all Lions accomplishments on a very serious, it's very patronizing. I'm sorry, Lions fans, but like I don't know, man. Barry Sanders quit on you. Megatron quit on you. Stafford wins a Super Bowl the second he leaves you. You win three games in a row, and then you cover against the Bills on Thanksgiving. I'm like, that felt like a win. I'm grading it as four wins in a row for the Bills.
Quick thought
for the Lions. Excuse me.
Quick thought for me on Steelers Colts Monday night.
Good, and you cover the Steelers, so you get the last word here.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm obviously always interested in their games, but I'm interested in what the Tuesday reaction will be to watching Pickett, because they've already played a Sunday night game with him and they've played 1 o'clock games that have had a decent amount of eyeballs on them in Buffalo and in Philadelphia. Even though Monday night is not the signature game anymore, I still think it's different from Sunday in that, like, sometimes people don't watch Sunday night football as closely because they've already watched 6 hours of football that day. And then the reaction the next day is like, you've got to get the whole day of football in. Like,
yeah, Tuesday, no, on the Tuesday shows, whatever happens on Monday Night Football,
right,
especially with a nationally relevant team like the Steelers, is you're going to get talked about on all the shows on Tuesday for sure.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people that I'm interested in hearing their opinion on what they think of this guy. I'm disappointed that there's no Manning cast for this game. Why did Peyton Manning not want to do a Manning cast for a Colts game?
So that happened to the Bears twice last year.
But he played for the Colts. I don't get that. Wouldn't he be able to get the best guests for a Colts Manning cast?
Barack Obama this year, buddy. They get good guests.
But does he think it would be weird criticizing the Colts? Does he still have an agenda, an anti-Colts agenda?
Dude, he does that from his neighbor's garage, and Eli does it from his basement on the screen of his golf simulator. He probably is like playing golf this weekend or like on a vacation. Like this is like the least stressful job ever. It is nothing to do with the opponents and the schedules or anything. It is simply he has something cooler to do this week. That is it. Do not take it personally, my friend.
So he just names his own schedule and ESPN's like, all right, fine. Even though it would make sense for you to do a Colts game.
Yes.
That's fine with us. Okay.
That is like on public record. They said to Peyton, what do you want to do in television? Do it with us. He's like, I want to host a show called Peyton's Places that has an insane travel budget. Doesn't work on linear television. You have to put it on ESPN Plus. They're like, go ahead. They're like, we'd like you to be an analyst for Monday Night Football. He's like, I don't want to do that. They're like, well, what about if you did a Zoom with your brother and you didn't have to leave your home and nobody could hear you or your guests for the first year and a half because there was a lag on the, and you don't. he's like, fine, let's do it.
But fine. I do think that the Manning cast has been hurt by Buck and Aikman doing the Monday night games. I find myself watching the regular broadcast more than the Manning cast this year.
Yeah, me too.
You?
Well, and so, like some of the novelty wore off, like, you know, it's not as new anymore, but I still love it. I love the Manning cast. I think it's entertaining. I think they're great. I disagree. I like the guests. Like some of them are bad, but I think it's a, because of what you said, because like I watched, like you do 10 hours of football on Sunday. I'm still a little burnt out on Monday night after doing the show. So it's nice to just kind of chill with a talk show. Like usually like I've got an NBA game on, I got a talk show of football on, just like kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
So I like feeling like the Mannings and Vince Vaughn are in my living room.
All right, dude, we'll talk Thursday after Bills and Patriots, brother.
All right, buddy. Hey, nice of you to still wear that Syracuse hoodie, even though we lost to Bryant. Good for you.
This is football. We're going to the Fenway Bowl.
Oh, that all right. I'll see you at the Pinstripe Bowl. Thanks to Spencer Ray. Subscribe, rate, review. First and Pod, every team, every week, every game. He's Andrew Filippone. I'm Danny Parkins. Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.